on Daf Yud Zayin with Aleph. 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. Ki havu miftere. A few words in, right? Ki havu miftere. So we're still busy with a few more of these common sayings of the Chachamim. Still, we cite another one. When the Chachamim would leave the yeshiva of Rabbi Ami, meaning when the Chachamim finished their period of learning there, which generally in those times you weren't talking about a 4 or 5 year stint, you were talking about a very substantial period of time. I don't know at which point they left the yeshiva, but when they left the yeshiva, another say that when they left the yeshiva of Rabbi Chanina, they would say as follows. There was a standard bracha that they would give the Rosh Yeshiva when they left. So here too, we will go through it first, just translating it, and then we'll return to study what's being stated. So they'd say as follows. Olamcha tir'eh b'chayecha. May you see your world yet in your lifetime. Meaning, may you begin experiencing Olam Haba already in your lifetime. We'll see. We'll get back to all this. Ve'acharischa l'chaye Olam Haba. But your true end will be in Olam Haba. And Yudzayin Amud Aleph, down towards the bottom. Almost at the bottom. 5 lines up. Ve'tikvascha l'dor dorim. And your hope will remain for all generations. Libcha yege tvuna, your heart will conceive of understanding. Picha yedaber chachmas, may your mouth speak wisdom. Ulshaincha yarchish renanas, and let your tongue excitedly express enthusiastic expressions. See, meaning joyous expressions. Af'apecha yeshiru negdecha, your eyelids, your eyes will see straight ahead. Einecha yeiru bim'or Torah, your eyes will be lit with the light of Torah. Uponecha yazhiru kizoyah harokia, and your face, may your face shine like the shine of the heaven. Sifsoisecha yabiu das, may your lips express knowledge. V'kilyosecho ta'aloizno meishorim, and may your kidneys excitedly produce straight things. The kidneys is often used in the Gemara as the expression of, that's where the counsel comes from. Upe'omecho yorutzu lishmoya divrei atik yomin, and may your steps run to hear the words of the antique. The antique is Hashem, obviously.
All the things that happened. When was the kiddush? Seems almost inappropriate.
The kidney. Well, again, the kidneys is an expression often in the Gemara, just like the heart is an expression of emotion, even though the heart really is just a blood vessel, right? The heart has nothing to do with, right? So the kidneys are often used, just like the heart is used to express wisdom, etc. The kidneys are often used to express counsel. Counsel, like planning, is done with the kidneys in the same way that feelings are done with the heart. What's that? Well, it's kind of the same. Counsel is an element of seichel. Yeah. Even though, again, it's not literal. Just like the heart is not literal. Your heart pumps blood. That's all it does. Your heart doesn't love anybody. Your brain loves, right? Okay. It's actually the Panovich Yerov once told him Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he confided in him that he only has one kidney. He lost a kidney at some point, I don't know. So he told him he only has one kidney. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was like a little startled, he was taken aback. So Panovich Yerov said, no, it's fine, don't get so startled. Panovich Yerov was famous for building yeshivas, right? For building Torah in Eretz Yisrael right after the Holocaust. And when he first started building, the Rabbanim in Israel at the time actually thought he was insane. he basically his story was that he had come from Europe right before the outbreak of the Holocaust on some mission. He was going around the world for something. He came to Eretz Yisrael as well. Something, some issue of public activism. And the Holocaust broke out while he was in Eretz Yisrael. He got word that he lost his entire family while he was in Eretz Yisrael. His wife, his children, but he had nothing left. Of course, his whole community was wiped out. That's it. He was a loner in the world with a now useless Lithuanian passport. Basically stuck in Eretz Yisrael. Not a family member to his name and not a dime to his name. How did he respond? He responded, well, if that's what's going on in Europe, we have to start building here. That was his response. And immediately, he got to work building Torah in Eretz Yisrael. And one of the first things he did was, he somehow managed to get a loan, where he decided he's going to build a yeshiva, he's going to call it Panevish, that was the town where he came from, that's where he had his yeshiva in Europe. He's going to build the yeshiva. He bought himself a plot up on the mountain in Bnei Brak, which is now where the Panevish yeshiva stands, and got a loan, no idea where he was going to get the money. This man didn't have a dime, and he became one of the greatest fundraisers in Jewish history, and basically spent his life building Torah. So he said, when he stood at the mountain that he had just purchased, he said, I hear the voices of 400 people sitting and learning Torah here. Today there are probably about 2,000. But he said, I hear the voices of 400 people learning Torah. And one of the big Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael at the time responded to that and said the poor man lost his mind. He said it seriously to the people around him. There aren't 400 yeshiva boys in Eretz Yisrael. Like, there aren't 200 at that time. He said the poor man, the tzaras that he went through, he lost his mind. That was the take on the Panevich Rav. Now look at Panevich today. So the Panevich Rav told Reb Shlomo Zalman, when he told him he has only one kidney, Reb Shlomo Zalman was startled. He said, it's okay, it's fine. He said, kidneys represent the council. Right? So I had this idea. But my one kidney told me, Yassel, his name was Reb Yosef Shlomo, my one kidney told me, Yassel, go build the yeshiva. He said, there was obviously an imbalance there. If I would have had the other kidney, it would have responded and said, Yassel, are you crazy? They said, because I had that imbalance, I went and I did it. Okay, that's just to get across the point that the kidneys are used to represent the concept of counsel. Now let's go back and see what is being stated in this Gemara here. So let's see it again from the beginning and go through it piece by piece. So again, backing up a few lines, when they would leave the yeshiva of either Rabbi Ami or Rabbi Chanina, they would tell them as follows. And now, as we just saw it before translated, it looked like a lot of flowery repetition. So I'm going to analyze it one by one, see how each expression here really is conveying a completely different message. Aylamcha tir'e b'chayecha. May you already begin seeing your world in your lifetime. Meaning, may you already begin experiencing Olam Haba in your lifetime. What does that mean? So basically, the Rishayim just kind of leave it at that. Or they add a little bit. The Ritva adds a little bit.
Rashi
says you should get everything you want. But, okay, we'll see how that fits in. But the Ritva adds a little bit, and he says, may you actually see the effects of all your spiritual efforts in this world. And that's kind of the beginning of Olam Haba. That's like a prelude to Olam Haba. But the Chassam Sofer really...
No, a reference to
Mashiach. That we'll see. So, Chassam Sofer explains this in two ways. He elaborates on this. Explains this in two ways. He says, first of all, Rashi says, "Kol tzorchecha timtza," meaning, may you be provided with everything you need, everything you want. So, Chassam Sofer says as follows. He says, this is more than just the blessing of may you have what you need. The point is, may you be shown special divine favor. Meaning as follows. Sometimes you get something, right, you have a stroke of good luck and you're happy because you can use the extra $10,000. But sometimes there's a stroke of good luck that comes clearly as a sign of divine favor, meaning you see that Hashem is patting you on the back by a certain stroke of good luck that you have. And when a person really feels that, more than the actual material benefit that he got is that feeling of, look, I was actually patted on the back by Hashem. like a cousin of mine kept the candy. This kind of sounds chassidish, but the literature, he kept the candy that he got from Rav Shach as a kid. Okay, they say kid gets a candy, right? So what's the significance of a candy? It's a good candy, right? No, but this had deeper significance for him. It's where he got it from. So the truth is that often a stroke of good luck, when a tzaddik starts seeing special siyata d'shmaya in all kinds of areas, it's more than just, oh wow, life is working out well, let me thank Hashem. He takes it as a sign of divine favor, and therefore that itself is a blissful experience. When you start seeing, when a person like Rabbi Ami, who's really giving it his all to spiritualism, then he starts seeing Hashem working his issues out for him within the framework of nature, but in an unnatural way, in the way that everything just falls into place, he starts experiencing Olam Haba in this world. He sees Hashem paving the way in front of him. So we're talking about material blessing here. Yeah, we're talking about material plenty or material successes, but yet we're talking about experiencing this on a higher level, experiencing it as a sign, as an indication of divine favor, which for a person who's properly attuned, that already is the beginning of the feeling of Olam Haba, the feeling that Hashem is giving me a stroke on the cheek, right? That Hashem is caressing me and Hashem is spoiling me, is worth more to me than the actual fact that, oh, you know, I struck a good deal. So that's what he's saying here. You should begin experiencing your Olam Haba already in this world through these different signs of divine favor, through material successes. Yet, he says, but the end will be in Olam Haba. Meaning, he's saying, let this not be deducted from your Olam Haba. Or, on a bit of a more profound level, have the good sense, they're blessing him, have the good sense to utilize it right and not to just get swept up with the material element. Right? Take it as a blessing of Hashem. And then, you can turn that blessing into even more spiritual success. So, have the sense to be able to retain your Olam Haba even while you're getting all those material blessings. That's an important point to know, that material blessings, we know there's a famous concept that a person might be paid off his Olam Haba in the form of a material blessing. The way to ensure that that doesn't happen is by relating to material blessings as spirituality. Meaning, you can have your cake and eat it. It's up to you. You can get the material blessings and just ride on it to get even more Olam Haba. Or, you can get your material blessing and it'll be instead of Olam Haba, which is never worth it. How? If you relate to the material blessing in this way, you say, I'm acknowledging it as something that's coming from Hashem, and therefore that's going to motivate me to grow even closer to Hashem. That material blessing is simply going to translate into even more Olam Haba. So therefore, the Chovetz Chaim says something very profound. The famous concept, right? That sometimes a person gets a material blessing and it's really just to pay him off. Sometimes a person gets a material blessing and it's a sign of divine favor and it's not coming at the expense of his Olam Haba. How do you know which is which? Chovetz Chaim says that this was a problem that bothered many of the pious. Whenever they had a stroke of good luck, they were afraid. Maybe it's paying me off. So he says the answer is, you decide which it is. You decide which it is. Depending on how you respond to it and what you do with it, when you take the ball, where do you run with it, that's what's going to determine whether you're just being paid an often Olam Hazeh, if it distracts you from your spirituality, or if you just attribute it to your own capabilities, etc. It might be in place of Olam Haba. But if you use it to grow closer to Hashem, then the material blessing itself turns into a means of Olam Haba. So that's what he's telling him here. Yes, you should start enjoying already in this world. But yet, the real payment will still be left for you in Olam Haba. That's explanation number one of the Chasam Sofer. Explanation number two, which is no less profound, maybe even more, hard to judge. What he's saying is, Olam Chatira B'chayecha, may you already begin experiencing Olam Haba in this world, meaning, may you really start finding all of your pleasure in your spiritual pursuits. Meaning, no, this is not something material at all. May you already start feeling the thrill of the Torah and Mitzvahs that you're doing and finding all of your fun in life there and not in your physical and material activities. Meaning, many people, most of us, me, please don't repeat this, but who are serving Hashem Still, their fun, their enjoyment is in the physical. You also serve Hashem and you try to connect and you do get a certain sense of fulfillment from it, but at the end of the day, at the end of the day, you're human, and the good challenge is nice where you have your fun, or whatever it is, right? So, he's giving him a bracha. May you reach a level already in this world where all your fulfillment in life, all of your joy in life, all your pleasure in life comes from your Torah and mitzvahs, comes from your engagement in Hashem's service. Now, this is a very profound point. Meaning, and he says, to the extent that all the physical engagements, activities, really just turn into technicalities. Now, this is a very, very profound point because it puts a certain perspective here. There's a very important perspective that's being conveyed here. We're told that a person should endeavor to serve Hashem only for Hashem's sake, without any selfish motive. Meaning, to rise beyond, right? We're told to rise beyond the level, to try to rise beyond the level of just wanting Olam Haba, of wanting the favors that we get for Hashem, and just to serve Hashem for Hashem's sake. Now this has to be understood. Does that mean that you don't enjoy it? The ultimate is to reach a level where you are not enjoying, and all your joy is saved for Olam Haba? Is that what we're being told, in other words? The ultimate is to reach a level where you're not enjoying. And the answer to that is, actually, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as not enjoying life. Meaning, there is. Not enjoying life translates, in modern day terms, as clinical depression. There's no such thing as a person who's so pious that he doesn't enjoy life. A person who's so pious that he doesn't enjoy life will soon enough require a professional treatment. So, the aim is not to enjoy life, but the aim is to reach higher levels of joy. When we're told mitach shalei lishma ba lishma, ultimately reach lishma, the point is to, yeah, when you're first starting your spiritual career, you have to get your joy from material things, you have to get your pleasure from material things, recognition, whatever it is. But ultimately, a person can reach a level where his fun is the realization that he has the privilege of serving Hashem. Meaning, his fun is not even the anticipation of Olam Haba. When a person grows closer to Hashem, and when a person gains a true appreciation of who Hashem is, and what it means to have the privilege to serve Hashem, that itself can fill a person with bliss. We can't really experience that in this world. The Malachim know what it means to have the opportunity to serve Hashem. In this world, we feel like we're doing Hashem a favor, because we're out of touch with reality. We're suffering Jews. We do Hashem favors in this world, and we trust Him that He'll pay up in the next world. But the truth is, when a person is really attuned to who Hashem is, you appreciate the privilege, you appreciate what it means to have the opportunity to actually be able to serve Hashem. It's like, you know, let's say, you know, we have these an appearance of some celebrity, and everybody's crowding around, wants to see him. You know, have these celebrities come here, and all the bootlickers gather around, they're so excited, they just want to touch him. You see these crazy pictures of some bum came from somewhere in the States, right, and does a tour here in Israel for 2 weeks, and you see these crazy pictures of he's standing and performing, and people reaching with their hands, they want to touch him, right? So what happens if this, we'll use this as a far out marshal, what happens if that person is about to do a performance and he asks, can someone pass me a cup of water? There will be a crazy dash. People will dive to be the one to actually hand him the cup of water. Now what happens if someone says, well, how much will he pay me? A cup of water? I want 50 cents. Right? No. These people appreciate what it means to be able to say for the rest of their life that they handed one of the greatest dope addicts in America a cup of water. Right? So, It's something, you know, puts them in the Hall of Fame. If they actually have a picture of it, it's something that they'll frame on their walls. What's that? No. Oh, they sell the cup. right. So, the truth is that the Malachim are looking at us with envy. Hashem actually chose us and asked us. It's hard for us to connect to that feeling. But a person can reach a state in this world where he senses the privilege, and the very fact that he's in position to be able to serve Hashem is an unbelievable feeling of bliss. This is what we mean when we say that a person should aspire to reach the Madrega that that he's meshamish and sarab shalom in as the kabbal pras. He's willing to serve Hashem even without promise for reward. What does that mean? You don't need to enjoy it? No, the point is that you get your joy out of the very fact that you have the opportunity to serve Hashem. And Chazal tells us, when a person really does connect to this, they say, a person reaches this level, he can reach a level where this world has more meaning to him, is worth more to him than all of Olam Haba, because in Olam Haba you're getting all the reward, but here you're actually in the position, you have that privilege of actually serving him. That's why Rabbi Yochanan expressed this in Masechta Shabbos. He said, once a person dies, yeah, you're going to Olam Haba for a billion years, but Hashem doesn't get anything out of you anymore. As long as you're here, you could actually be providing Hashem with nachas, which if you appreciate who Hashem is, that's a mind-boggling statement. I could provide Hashem nachas, I can make him happy. When a person really reaches the right level, Olam Hazeh is a source of unbelievable bliss. And that's what we mean when we say he begins experiencing Olam Haba in this world. He reaches a level of such bliss that it far outweighs not only any material pleasures, but even his anticipation of Olam Haba pales in comparison with the bliss that he's experiencing because of the service of Hashem. So that's what they're wishing him, their Rebbe here. This is a very high madrega. How high it is, we'll see in a moment. But that's what they're wishing their Rebbe here, that he should reach this level where he gets that bliss out of Olam Haba. Now, this is a very important point. A very important point to realize that, because people make a mistake about it. Not to think that we are exhorted to reach a level where you strip yourself of any feeling, where you strip yourself, where you don't enjoy, where you rise above enjoyment. No, the point is not to rise above enjoyment. There is no such thing. It's a very chash of a principle. There's no such thing as healthy life without enjoyment. The point is to reach the highest, most refined levels of enjoyment, the most sublime levels of enjoyment, which are actually the greatest sources of enjoyment. This is very important to realize this, because there are people who drive themselves to the wrong places emotionally and mentally, endeavoring to reach a place where they don't enjoy anymore. My Rebbe used to stress all the time, "Ein chayim lelo hana'ah." There's no such thing as life without pleasure. There's no such thing as life without joy. The question is to get the joy out of, to work on refining the joy, getting it out in the right places. That's what they used to say in Slabodka. Masiyos Yisharim says that the basis for all of our service of Hashem, Yisoda Chasilus v'Shorish Avoida, the foundation of piety and the root of all service of Hashem, Hu sheyisbar v'yisames etzel ha'odom ha'choy v'osav v'elomoy, this is the beginning of Masiyos Yisharim, is that a person should clarify for himself what his purpose in this world is, and what his sights should be focused on in everything he does in life. Vehu, and he says, and what is that? That man was created to enjoy Hashem. Okay, fine. It goes on, but in Slabodka they said, now Slabodka they weren't into Verdlach. In Slabodka they were very into the depth of Pshat. But they said that this Masilas Yisharim is meant to be read in two ways. Adam le'niv elonis aneg al Hashem. But actually, you could also put the comma after lehis aneg. Ha'adam le'niv elonis aneg. Man was created to enjoy. Now, in what way? He's created to enjoy Hashem. But lamaisa, a most essential component of what man is, not just human nature, but the nature of the neshama itself, the nature of the deepest levels of man, is to seek joy. And therefore, that cannot be written off as an impious thing, because you're trying to undermine the very essence of what the deepest levels of man is supposed to be, what the neshama is supposed to be. To seek joy. That's what we're here for. To seek joy. Sounds impious. But where does piety come in? It's to seek joy, to try to get your joy, to endeavor, to spend your life trying to get your joy from higher levels and from higher levels. That's the point. Don't just leave your seeking of joy and seeking of ice cream. Turn your seeking of joy, try to get it to areas of spirituality. That's the point. And therefore, for example, right, there was an incident with a kid, a time in the Chazon Ish, who who got caught up in, he got caught up in all the underground activities, which was exciting, etc. But for a boy who's sitting in yeshiva, there are more important things he could be busy with. And he got ultimately ejected from his yeshiva because the two weren't going well together. He can be a commando, you want to be a yeshiva boy, but he can't do both. Got into a different yeshiva. There was one friend of his who was very close with him, and the kid was a smart kid and he was a frum kid, but you know, that's where he got his fun. More fun than sitting in this medrash. So a friend of his went with him to the Chazon Ish. Maybe the Chazon Ish can influence him. None of his rabbeim were able to influence him to drop it. So the Chazon Ish sat down with the fellow and started asking him about what he's learning. And the kid kind of knew, you know. And then the Chazon Ish started bringing out different points. He would say, you know, in the sugi you're going to be learning, there's, you know, this halacha can be derived from it. You know, it's basically, he's kind of like gave him different challenges and things like that. I want you to tell me next week what you have to say on this. Like, rather than questions, what would you say the halacha would be after learning that sugi and this in this scenario? Different challenges, different things. Okay, kid came back next week again. The Chazon Ish again had such a conversation with him. And the friend who accompanied him each time was getting a little impatient because the point was for the Chazon Ish to, you know, sit and talk business. So he asked the Chazon Ish, what are you doing? So Chazon Ish basically said what we're discussing here. The Chazon Ish said, a person needs to be enjoying. Needs to be enjoying. A person is not going to be able to live without enjoying. I mean, a person who has nothing that he enjoys in life is going to be, again, like we said before, a clinically depressed person. And therefore, he said, this kid doesn't have a geschmack in learning right now. It's not where he gets his pleasure from. We can't just take away, so where does he draw his pleasure from? From his underground activities. It makes him feel macho, it makes him feel big, whatever it is. You can't take away the basis of his pleasure and just leave a void. There's no way, it's not going to work and it's not healthy. He said, what I could try to do is, and this is what I'm trying to do, is to start developing by him more of a feel for his Torah, by giving him these challenges, and sending him for next week's learning with a mission, right? And then he comes back and discusses it with me. After a few weeks, I think he'll start developing more of a taste, and then there's room to start moving out the other one. But you can't move out the other joys before you have something in place. This is something to realize in chinuch also, right? If kids, you want to try to, your kids fall into the wrong things. Kids fall into the wrong things. Oh, and what are you supposed to do? How do you combat it, etc.? You have to realize, number one, if a kid falls into the wrong thing, often it's because there's a void that isn't filled. If you're just going to take the wrong thing away from them, they're back to that void. So the question is, what's better, jail or an insane asylum? If you want to work at it at the root, you have to realize, you have to be able to answer the question, what fun does this kid have in life? If your answer is nothing except for those bad activities, you have a problem and you better stop providing something else, because if you're just going to go combating the bad activities, you're finding a hopeless cause. And, you know, instead of being hurt in this way, he'll be hurt in that way. Ein chayim lelo hana'a. Life, people are here to enjoy. And they're going to enjoy one way or the other, or else they'll turn into vegetables. Just the point is, you have to work on getting the fun into the right places. So that's what's being stated here. Now the Chacham Sofer goes ahead, and now we might be hearing this and saying, oh boy, so where does this leave us? I lemaisa do like my steaks. So Chacham Sofer, do like my steaks. And lemaisa, I'm an idealist, and I serve Hashem because I realize it's the right thing to do, but I don't get this bliss. Am I completely missing the boat? So Chacham Sofer says this is a madrega that not everybody gets to, and that's why they were blessing the Rosh Yeshiva in this way. And he actually shows a pasuk in Tehillim, which, again, you have to be the Chassam Sofer to say this. A very bold thing to say. Chassam Sofer says, in which David HaMelech is expressing that he was not zeichet to reach this madrega and the longing that he would. Very bold thing, he says. As David HaMelech says, Lulei ha'emanti eloris betuv Hashem ve'eretz chayim, kavei al Hashem chazak ve'amitz libecha ve'kavei al Hashem. He says, David HaMelech is saying as follows. He said, I have a problem in life, and that is that I don't really get my full bliss out of my avodas Hashem. This is obviously relative, because I'm sure David HaMelech did. He said, now, if not for the fact that I knew that there's such a concept of experiencing this in this world, the Eretz HaChaim, the land of the living, I'd be calm. Because I know, yes, you're not meant to enjoy your Avodas Hashem in this world. Enjoy it in the next world. But he said, but I do know that there's such a concept. I do know that there's a concept of enjoying, of reaching the level of getting that absolute bliss from it in this world. And therefore I'm disturbed. Why am I not feeling that? And therefore, Kaveh El Hashem, Chazak Ve'amitz Lebecha Ve'Kaveh El Hashem. You have to just hope to Hashem, and you have to keep reinforcing yourself and pushing yourself further, hoping to get there. Keep aspiring, but don't be discouraged by the fact that you're not. Okay, well, that's for statement, that's for clause number one of this blessing. But as we said before, but Lamaisa, the end will be in Olam Abba. V'tikvas chaledor dorim, and your hope will be for all generations. So this is explained in two ways. The Ben Ish Chai says that the intent is, may your effect continue throughout the generations, meaning may you have progeny and disciples who will continue your legacy in this world. Marsha says what Rav George said before. Now there's thinking also a bracha about the days of Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim. Yes, may you have this world, may you have Olam Abba, and may you also have the future generations, may you have a good state in Tchias HaMesim and in the days of Mashiach. Libcho yege tvuna, may your heart conceive understanding, meaning, may you be zeiche to get to the deeper levels of the thing you learn. Everything that we learn, we're meant to process, and really understand its deeper significance. That's called bina. You get information, and then you use your own faculties to process it further, break it down, develop it further. So may you be zeichet to develop your knowledge further. Picha yedaber chochmas. And then we're saying, now that you've developed it further, you can teach it on to other people. For what then is going to be chochma? Chochma is just absorbing the basic information. You'll take all the things that you've developed and you'll teach it to your Talmidim, who will then absorb it as chokhmah, as basic information that they then have to process. And when you're doing this, may your tongue express joyous expressions. Meaning, sometimes a person teaches, alright, he understood the material, he's ready to teach it, but he's not really passionate about it. May you actually be excited about the things you learn, to the extent that your mom is excited, you're jumping off your chair to convey it further. And sometimes you feel like when you're teaching, alright, let me convey the material. But sometimes you feel like, this is so exciting, let me convey it further. That's obviously the ultimate experience of teaching. So may it actually be joyous expressions. May your eyelids see straight. So this, the Ben Ish Chai explains to mean, may you indeed reach the correct halachic conclusions. Which is a challenge, right? You know that there's always machloikis, and how halacha ends up, it ends up. What's that? Oh, right. Einecha ya'iru bim'or Torah, and may your eyes be lit with the light of the Torah. So here the Ben Ish Chai says, this is referring already to the next level, Kabbalah. May you be zeichet to not only get the halacha right, but the Kabbalah as well. Okay? May your face shine like the shine of the heaven. Here he says, we see such, also the Ben Ish Chai says, we see a concept which is, we find this with different chachamim, that just seeing them was able to impact a person. Right? For example, Rebbe told his Talmidim, you know why I'm greater than you? Because I saw the back of Reb Meir. I saw the back of Reb Meir's head. And he said, if I would have seen his face, I would have been even greater. Sometimes a person reaches a level where just the sight of him can influence others. So the blessing with that, may your face shine. Now, Sifseisecha yabiu da'as. May your lips express da'as. Meaning again, this is similar to what we said before, but not quite the same. When a person learns things, person learns facts and understands them, that's called chokhmah. It's chokhmah, bina, and das. Chokhmah means absorbing the material, comprehending. Fine. Bina means then processing it and developing it, right? Deriving different things from it, right? You take them all and run with it. That's called bina. Das is a different level. It's a level where you've actually integrated the knowledge. Oh, Ivan talked about this today. Where you integrate the knowledge into your personality, meaning you actually live it. I'll give an example of das. When you, if a person first learns that a chumash shouldn't be on the floor, and he knows that. Now, let's say I have a person who's about tshuva, he's new to the game, he sees a chumash on the floor, he knows he's supposed to pick it up. But after you've been frum for a little while longer, it's more than just, you know, you're supposed to pick it up. A chumash on the floor rubs you wrong. You feel that there's something wrong here, right? That's das. When it already becomes integrated into your personality, it becomes a part of you. It becomes a sentiment. It's not just a piece of knowledge. I know that a chumash shouldn't be on the floor. No, I feel that a chumash shouldn't be on the floor. It's really a part of my personality, right? I'm uncomfortable if there's a chumash on the floor. There's something wrong here. So that's das. May the things that you teach not just be chokhmah, but actually maybe they stem from your personality. And then we said, may your counsel, right, your kidneys, may they express meisharim, truths. Meaning, this is already a whole different level. A person learns Torah to the extent that, you know, some of the person knows what he knows. He learned halachas of interest, let's say, and now he can pass it on the halachas of interest. But when a person integrates so much Torah to the extent that it becomes a part of his personality, like we said, he actually starts thinking along Torah's lines. We discussed this concept a few times. When a person develops what we call the Torah mentality, not just absorbing Torah information and knowing a lot of Torah, but he starts developing the Torah way of thinking, the Torah mentality, to the extent that you can ask him a question about an issue that isn't discussed in Sfarim. But he has the Torah attitude on the issue. How? Because he's absorbed so much Torah that not just does he have the information, but he already has the whole thought process, the attitude, the mentality. So that's what he's saying. Your kidneys. Again, the kidneys, when we talk about learning Torah, we talk about the mind, the heart. The kidneys is already where my natural feelings come from. And we're saying that you reach the level that you are so ingrained with the Torah, not just Torah information, but the Torah mentality, that your natural feelings, the way you naturally respond to things, are Torah. As for example, the Chofetz Chaim said, right, when there was a certain big communal issue that was being debated, the Chofetz Chaim took a very passionate stand, and they asked him, where does it say? Was it in Shulchan Aruch anywhere? So he stood up and he said, it says it here. And he was saying that that's Torah. That's Torah. Why? Because he had developed the psyche, not just the information. He developed the way the Torah would approach things. And that's what he was saying. That's Torah.
This is a progression here?
What's that? Yeah. Then upeomecha yerutzu lishmoya divrei atikyem. That's the concept that in modern day terms is called das Torah. Like they call das Torah. What does that mean? The concept of das Torah. The person has das Torah. Again, often people will ask, right? The Rabbanim will say that you have to do this and this. Where does it say? Can they show a source for it? The answer is not necessarily. But that's what das Torah is. They already have absorbed the Torah approach, and therefore they can say, this is what the Torah wants in this situation, even if it doesn't say it anywhere. Because they have developed the Torah's sense of wrong and right, the Torah's value system. Now, it's also how, like for example, talk even in areas of halacha. Avol Yosef used to paskin questions of life and death off the cuff. Where do you have in Shulchan Aruch or in Shas discussions of what to do in situations when there's a medical toss-up? Right? That you go to a rav, you have to go to a big rav, Avol Yosef, and he paskins. And he did it confidently. Where does that come from? We had such an experience. My brother had preemies who were at one point, they were born very early and their whole situation was very precarious. And at one point, it was mamish touch and go. I'm making a long story short. But at one point, they mamish thought that they weren't going to make it through the night. This was when they were still in the prenatal unit, etc. and the doctors said that they basically give up. They actually offered my sister-in-law to take the baby out of the incubator and hold him, because he's going to be gone by the morning. Now it's 10 years later, they're both alive, Baruch Hashem. That was what they said. But then, some doctor, they were in touch with doctors from different places, some doctor from a different hospital came up with some treatment, which could up the chances to an extent, but the risks of side effects were very great, meaning these, I'm just using, I don't know what the numbers exactly were, but they might up like 15% the survival chances from 10% to 25%, okay? But at the same time, there was an 80% chance that applying this treatment will cause permanent damage. Serious damage. I don't know exactly of what nature, whether it was brain damage or what. And basically, the doctors told my brother and sister-in-law, these are the facts, you decide. Young couple, this is their first kid. 22-year-old kid, so are they supposed to decide this sort of question? And first they sent the question to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who scared them even more by saying, I don't know what to say. He said, I would lean towards saying not to do it, but I don't know. So he asked him, so who can answer the question? And he said, only Rabbi Eliyashiv. They took the question to Rabbi Eliyashiv, it was mamish, in a second, off the cuff. He said, well, what are the facts? They laid down for him on the table, now, these are the facts, off the cuff, do it. They did it. Now, what he's saying is Ruach HaKodesh, it's not Ruach HaKodesh. What he's saying is, after years of having absorbed the way the Torah approaches thousands or hundreds of thousands of cases, he already started developing the discretion, not just knowledge of how the Torah relates to individual cases, the sense of discretion, the sense of how you weigh one thing against the other, to the extent that he's able to say, this is a halachic psak. Not Ruach HaKodesh, it's halachic psak. This is what halacha would say about such a situation. That's the das that we're talking about here. Now the last thing here is, U'peyamecha yavutzu lishmaya divrei atik yamin. May your feet run to hear the words of the antique. So all of a sudden here, the whole discussion here was about intellectual faculties expressed in different ways. And all of a sudden we throw in the feet. You know, why couldn't we throw in the nose or the chest? Where does the feet come in here? So the Maharsha says, yeah, this tefillah is relating to all the parts of the body that are involved in the process of learning. And therefore, yes, all the different elements of the eyes and the mind and all the different parts of the mind breaks down to with the heart, with the kidneys. But the Maharsha says, the Gemara here is stressing one last important thing. Remember that the feet are a part of it. Because you got to pick yourself up and go to the Mesmedrash in order to learn too. Right? It's not just about the head and the kidneys, etc. You have to pick yourself up and go also. The arms are not really a part of it. We don't have to discuss the arms. But remember that you've got to get yourself off the couch. The feet are a part of it. And therefore, part of the bracha was, may your feet run. Okay. All right. Stop here.